Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
At the beginning of the year, there were a lot of naysayers who, because of the economic crisis, predicted that crime had nowhere to go but up, but they underestimated the resolve of the men and women of the department.
Or maybe, Police Commissioner Kelly, they also underestimated the civilian men and women of New York City if crime is down while recession is up. Poverty and joblessness up in New York City. Think about it. Violent crime down at the same time. It's not supposed to work that way. But barring something truly catastrophic, 2009 will end with the lowest numbers of murders in New York City since they started keeping modern records in 1963. Most other categories of violent crime are down, too. And in most of New Jersey as well, New Jersey announced that its murder rate dropped for the third straight year. 37 fewer murders statewide than last year, just 332 around the state. Here's New Jersey Attorney General Ann Milgram on WNYC yesterday afternoon with Amy Eddings, and here's what she attributed the drop in murders to.
We spent a lot of time in the past 3 years focused on reducing violence in the state and really focusing on targeting gang activity and gun violence. And we have run task forces, state, local, federal agencies in every county and all 21 counties, along with in the major cities, where we've gotten folks, instead of basically being reactive and waiting for a 911 call, we've become proactive by identifying the most violent offenders, the people who we know are committing violence on our streets, and then going after them with targeted investigations and prosecutions to basically make our streets safer.
Outgoing New Jersey Attorney General Ann Milgram, although Newark is seeing crime on the rise this year after several years of improvement, still better in Newark than it was several years ago when Mayor Booker took office. So we will look at the end of the year crime stats and the link between crime and poverty now with Al Baker, New York Times police beat reporter, and Eugene O'Donnell, professor of police science at the John Jay College of Criminal Justice, a former police officer and former prosecutor himself. Welcome back to WNYC, both of you. Happy New Year.
Hello. Happy holidays, Brian.
Yes, hello, Brian.
And Al Baker, just how non-murderous a year has this been in the city of New York?
Well, the officials would say one murder is too many, but there are 461 through December 27th, 461 people killed violently in New York, which is the lowest since, as you said, 1963, when comparable measurements, standards for measuring this kind of violence were created.
And your article mentions that only one precinct has had zero murders this year. Counterintuitively, that is Central Park, the only place you could go all year without getting killed. Neighborhoods with only one killing include Bayside, Queens, Diker Heights, Brooklyn, Hamilton Heights, Manhattan, Co-op City, the Bronx, and the South Shore of Staten Island. So they're all over the city in every borough. Any surprises there? Maybe Hamilton Heights or anywhere else where it's a change or a surprise?
New York, I think, is a city where anywhere can be dangerous at any moment. Any things change, you know, based on streets, corners that you turn. I'm not sure that it's surprising that, you know, the police, where there are plateaus of crime existing, they have swarmed those areas with lots of police officers to sort of keep things down as much as they can.
So that's Operation Impact, right?
Right.
And that's one of the reasons why Police Commissioner Kelly credits the NYPD. Professor O'Donnell, do you take these violent crime stats, because other violent crime categories are going down as well, at face value? Could the NYPD be spinning us here, probably not about murder, but maybe about other things?
Well, definitely not about murder, unless they're hiding bodies someplace we don't know.
Right.
But certainly there are allegations, and you do hear from the cops that on not serious crimes, they're under some pressure to not report things, to send people away. You hear that anecdotally, whether that's true or not. It's hard to verify that.
Because anecdotally, I do hear people from various neighborhoods saying muggings are up in this great recession. And we have a post on our website. You know, you can't verify what somebody who we don't really know who they are posts on our site. But Jesse from Staten Island writes, I have three members of my family who are presently in the NYPD. And as they explained it to me, police officers are discouraged from reporting and filing many types of incidents. Only the most egregious are actually looked into. This is a political bubble waiting to burst. Do you see any evidence of that?
I think today is a day to say, and I think that there's concerns about that, but today is a day to say that it, in a year where there was nothing but bad news economically across the board, this is just terrific news. You know, to put this in a different light, if you look at, you know, the murders that occurred on 9/11 when our city was attacked, and, you know, basically in a watershed event for American history, that was about 18 months worth of homicides that we used to have in the city of New York. We used to have 2,300 homicides in a given year. So it's a great day for New York, not just because more people are alive and the city is a lot safer, but also it makes the city look like a harmonious place, and we're getting worldwide attention in a positive way in an otherwise horrific year.
Al Baker, what about the other categories of violent crime? I saw in your article the one category that's going up is a certain kind of assault. What kinds of assaults would those generally be? Can you tell?
Those are felonious assaults are up slightly, which I think, getting back to your original question, I mean, overall crime is something that every police agency in the country, except Chicago, I believe, report to the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and the FBI puts out Uniform Crime Index reports that sort of verify or substantiate the NYPD's claims, the mayor's claims, the Bloomberg administration's claims about crime being down. As Professor O'Donnell said, you would imagine it would be hard to hide a body in New York. There are things that get pushed one way or another. Some crimes, some murders are considered negligent homicides. Those aren't counted as purposeful killings. The medical examiner would count homicides as any time a man kills a man, a person kills a person, but the police don't count it that way. They count crime. But the police, to their argue that they include crimes from 30, 40 years ago. Someone was shot and suffered seizures or paralysis, and that those injuries caused their death all these years later, and that's on the books now as a murder. But I think there is some evidence in the economy that under the surface of these seven major categories of crime, the major crimes, violent crimes that are counted, are some lesser crimes, some family assaults, misdemeanor assaults, petty larceny, shoplifting. The New York State's criminal court system has shown an increase in what you might call recession-related cases, indicating a level of disorder bubbling under the surface of violence. And my colleague William Glaberson wrote a large story about that this week. So while the major crimes are hard to hide, although the PBA has made noise over the years that the police are, quote, cooking the books, they've shown no evidence of that, though there are suspicions and anecdotal incidents or accounts of crime being squeezed in around the edges, around the edges or the margins of lesser types of crime. I think that, as the FBI says, as the political officials say, the large number is hard to ignore. And when you consider 2,200 murders in New York City in 1990, you just couldn't hide 1,500 bodies. There are 461 killings.
Let me linger for just a second on one thing you just said. Domestic violence, which is certainly known to rise and fall with economic hard times. Is that a stat that's officially kept as such? And are domestic violent incidents up?
Cases involving charges sort of linked to assaults within families are measured by the court system, and those are up. 18% or so, I believe, is the number. I didn't report that particularly in this story, but that goes in line with increases in home foreclosure filings being up, increases in things that sort of indicate economic stresses. So while that's as Commissioner Kelly says, no one is going out to commit a robbery to put food on the table, and he says he's never seen that. There are stressors in this environment that are sort of showing increased disorder below the level of violence.
We're talking about the decline in violent crime this year in New York and New Jersey with Al Baker, New York Times police beat reporter, who was just speaking, and Eugene O'Donnell, former police officer, former prosecutor, professor of police science at the John Jay College of Criminal Justice. By the way, Al, you mentioned when man kills man or person kills person, and some interesting paragraphs from your article yesterday revealing some of the demographics. Listeners, if you're wondering, even with just 461 murders, a record low in New York City, who gets killed in New York City? Here is some of how that article breaks it down. And yes, it is man killing man for the most part. Killers and their victims were overwhelmingly men and were between 18 and 40 years old. Most of this year's victims, 283 of them, were killed with a gun fired by someone they knew. Others were stabbed, 90 cases, hit with a blunt instrument, 28, or asphyxiated, 16. One victim was murdered with a car. Only 34% of the victims, no matter how they died, were killed by strangers. So murder in New York generally committed by a man 18 to 40 against another man 18 to 40 who knew each other. Professor O'Donnell, is it shocking to you that violent crime is down while poverty and joblessness and demand at food pantries and soup kitchens are all spiking in New York, not to mention the NYPD down 6,000 officers from its peak of around 40,000 a decade ago?
Yeah, if anybody said this would be foreseeable, that we'd have this perfect storm, economic storm, and that this many people out of work, that you'd have this kind of decline. You know, if somebody said 10 years ago this was going to happen, I think nobody would quite believe it. That said, it's not just a New York phenomenon. That we're seeing crime reduced all over the country, seemingly even in cities where there's no real strategy, no real police strategy, where police departments are actually laying off, where there's actually no full court press like there is in New York. So it makes you wonder what's going on out there. But I do think one concern that we need to have is there does seem to be a desperate population in cities and across the country, and you're seeing this act in terms of the acting out of people firing at police officers. We've had a spike in shootings of police officers, and even that Times Square incident with the peddler, I think that tells you an awful lot about some people in the city that are really at wit's end. So I think, as Al is saying, there's some stuff under the surface that is cause for concern. There's an anger level, there's a disconnect level, mental health issues, a whole bunch of stuff that we have to keep our eye out on. And I also think, honestly, police chiefs in America probably have to think in terms of, is this sustainable? If we're going to have 5 or 6 or 7 years of no economic growth, people trapped in place, we're now going to have prisoner release because we can't house people, whether we're going to have civil discord as we go forward.
Well, do you think that there is no link between poverty and street crime? It sounds from the answer you just gave that you think there may potentially be once again. But you know, a lot of commentators are going to go on some media and say this proves that poverty does not cause crime, that lack of personal responsibility or community values cause crime. And are we ready to take poverty out of the equation?
Well, this has debunked a lot of stuff. There were people saying that, you have to have a much larger police force in order to have crime reduction. We actually have a much smaller police force than we had in the Safe Streets, Safe Cities day, and crime has dropped precipitously. So if you use that logic, you'd have an even smaller police department to achieve gains. And they were always specious connections between crime and the economy. Anybody, if you travel around the world, you'll see the poorest countries in the world, where you can leave your valuables in the front yard, nobody would take anything. So I'm not sure anybody's convinced that there's that direct correlation. I think the desperation issue. I've been up in Racine, Wisconsin, with the police up there doing some research, and that's a city. And we're starting to see this around the country now. We're starting to see people priced out. Some of the gangbangers and some of the criminals are priced out of the central cities, and they're heading out to these secondary places. And in those places, lots of property crime, lots of violent crime. The Racine, Wisconsin has a murder rate twice that of the South Bronx. So New York could take a victory lap in terms of it becoming safer, but I think there's some real serious issues that we have to keep an eye on.
Al Baker, anything from you on the link between poverty and crime? I mean, this might even make some people angry to think that, if there is increasing hopelessness in various communities in the country, increasing concentration of wealth, unnamed people getting richer while a lot of people get poorer in this economy, and that just police activity can keep crime down, almost to think that there wouldn't be crime to put food on the table, might make some people angry at the thought that, you know, you can just keep the downtrodden down and not think there are going to be any consequences.
Well, historically, rises in crime and drops in crime are always difficult to explain the underlying reasons for. Criminologists, I think, would say that while there is no direct link, perhaps, between crime and the economy, there are indirect links. Crime is often committed by the poor or uneducated, and a bad economy can aggravate poverty in ways that aren't always obvious. I think that services for youth and people who are less occupied or don't have guardianship might lead, or cuts in education are things some sociologists would say would lead to crime. But the police certainly across the country, from Miami to Los Angeles to New York, former Chief Timoney in Miami, notes that there are sort of anecdotal instances where troubling economies can lead to certain types of crimes, as Professor O'Donnell said, the peddler, or people ransacking abandoned or foreclosed houses for the value of the copper piping that's not in place, or that's not being used, but is in place. And I think police also feel that the most withering effect of a bad economy on them is the devastation to tax coffers and therefore cuts in budgeting. As Commissioner Kelly has said, it's going to cost much more than $75 million to put on the Khalid Sheikh Mohammed trial. So police need resources to put the officers in the field to do the things they feel they can do to control crime, which is flooding high crime areas, etc. If you take that away, I think that's what most police officials would tell you is most daunting about a difficult economy.
Al Baker, New York Times police beat reporter, Eugene O'Donnell, professor of police science at the John Jay College of Criminal Justice. We're almost out of time, but Arnold in Brooklyn has a theory about crime going down in poverty areas. Hi, Arnold.
Hello. I was wondering if, without statistics, I could conjecture that the recession has caused a reduction in the affordability of recreational drugs so that there's less drug abuse and people have more self-control.
Anything to that, Professor O'Donnell, as far as you can tell?
You know, we have folks at John Jay that they're actually on the street looking at that, so I wouldn't be an expert at all on that. But as Al says, so much of this is a moving picture. It's just a hard thing to pin down with any certainty why these things are going up and down. There's so many variables about housing, the economy, drug use, incarceration rates, and things like that.
Commenter from Queens on our website crediting the Million Man March, and adds that the old canard that poverty is the main cause of crime has always been debatable. That the poorest areas tend to turn out the most hard-boiled of criminals is probably correct, but the overall propensity toward lawbreaking is rather equally distributed among all classes, races, ethnicities, and religious groups. Some can just be more sophisticated in their sub rosa activities, writes this listener from Queens. And though we know, Al Baker, that most of the people in prison for violent crimes come from a relative handful of high-poverty neighborhoods in New York City, I wonder if there are stats for white-collar crime in New York this year. If you count that in CompStat during the great housing swindle era of the present, maybe it blows the whole thing.
Sure. I think it was PricewaterhouseCoopers that put out a study that said, white-collar crime is on the rise pretty drastically with regard to corporate malfeasance or corruption or theft of large sums of money in places that aren't counted by traditional street crime officials like the police department. When you talk about crime and there's so many different ways to look at it. And I think there is one overarching thought, too, that there's generally thought to be, as you said, it's hard to pin it down. As Professor O'Donnell said, it is a moving target, which makes it difficult. You know, even the FBI stats are a little bit dated by 6 months. But most people, I think, do believe that you have to allow for a lag period between drastic economic changes, such as what we're experiencing now, and even today we don't know if the housing crisis will double dip or not, or mm-hmm. is it coming back.
Right.
But leaving a lag period between changing economies and new crime patterns or developments is a smart thing to do.
All right, last thing. New Year's Eve in Times Square, coming up tomorrow night, always a challenge for the NYPD, ever more so since 9/11, and again this year with some extra tension because of the recent airliner bombing attempt. Here is Commissioner Ray Kelly on New York One listing some of their New Year's Eve safety tools.
We'll have lots of detectors in place, radiation detectors, biological detectors. You'll see some of the equipment that we've acquired these days are Skywatch, we call them. These are towers that we elevate. Dogs, bomb-sniffing dogs, our counter-sniper teams, the helicopters will be flying.
So, Gene O'Donnell, a final thought. It sounds like Times Square will be well defended, but maybe Ray Kelly should lend some of that stuff to the airports.
Yeah, or Staten Island, or the outer boroughs, where I live, which we don't get a lot of attention. But if anybody could protect the city, just because of the skill level, the experience, and the resources, it's the New York City Police Department.
Eugene O'Donnell, professor of police science at the John Jay College of Criminal Justice. Al Baker, New York Times police beat reporter. Happy New Year to both of you. Thank you very much for coming on and talking about the record drop in crime.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, it may be school break, but it is getting very hot between the Bloomberg administration and New York City teachers. We'll explain why.